Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you. Thank you. For this allowing for us to be in here on today, because one of the things is that one thing I do know about Reverend Woodard and myself is that we don't take our ministries lightly. But I do believe that what God has called us to do, it should be purposeful, it should be meaning, and it should be impactful. So I want to say thank her so much for just opening up the floor to me on today. And she's right, we've been friends for over 20-something years. I'm aunt to her children, my kids are aunt to her. And God has joined us together in sisterhood. Sometimes you can be friends with a person until you're no longer friends when they have your sisters. Her mom is my mom, and my mom is hers, and God is just doing something. So when I finally, she called me and asked me, she said, would you mind being one of the speakers for today? For Holy Spirit, and I'm like, sure. Like, I'm so glad that you even reached out to consider me, because with Holy Spirit, this is the ministry that God has birthed there. So he told me, this will be 5 years from now. I'm like, really? Oh my God, it don't seem like it's been that long. And so she went back to her ears. She's like, oh my God, it is 5 years. And I'm like, well, we gotta do something. Like, it's time to celebrate, because most times when things are birthed, it might not last as long. And so sometimes people might look at, well, it's only 5 years, but how many in the house is married? And if you've been married 5 years or more, how about you be celebrating, like, Lord, I thank you for just another year, okay? So with that, I said, we have to celebrate, we have to do so, because God has been gracious to hold Victoria. So I thank God for her just opening up the floor to me on today. And so she came with me in October, and I spoke at another one of these conferences, and that conference was on, I won't say it was depression, but it was like mental health illness. And for those who don't know, I am a certified national mental health counselor. I do counseling in the evenings, and my clientele is from ages 9 on up. So I counsel both children as well as adults. And so I invited Reverend Woodard to come. And when she came, that was first the birthing of my ministry that God gave me, which is Rails. And he had put Rails in my spirit for a while. And I have been battling around with this, like, oh, what is it that you want me to do? Where is this going? And it's found on Deuteronomy 32:11. It says they would take those eagles up on wings and they would soar. I'm like, well, what is it that you would want me to do with this? And so I was playing all around, and one morning I was in prayer in my kitchen, and the Lord spoke so clear to me. He said, take the word sword and turn it around. And so that's where you get the word radio. It's R-A-O-S, which is sword spelled backwards. Yeah. And it stands for rising above our situation.
Amen.
Because when
our
eagles take on our critics and they start flying, God is
giving
them strength to soar above every mountain, every valley, every obstacle that is in the way. And so I stand here as a founder of Ray O, saying that if God strengthens us, that he has given us the ability and the power to rise against every situation that comes in our life. I have a table that I'm scared in our brochures to talk about the ministry that that God has worked throughout Ray O. So feel free when this is over, go downstairs, take some information along with you. And so with today, remind us what Reverend Woodard contacted me. She said the topic was on when wintertime comes.
Yeah.
And so when I thought about that, I said, one thing that I do know is a lot of people don't understand that SAD, which is the acronym for seasonal affective disorder, which means that people be depressed during the wintertime. And so oftentimes when the wintertime comes, we know that time changes and it gets darker much earlier. Sometimes you can step outside and it can be in the middle of the day, but it's so gloomy. It might look like it's snowing and it's cold. And you begin to look at the trees, the leaves are falling off and so it becomes bare. And so sometimes when we go into our winter season, and a lot of people are like, you know, I don't feel like getting out of bed. And I don't feel like being bothered. And don't call me or, yeah, they invited me, but I'm not going to come. But one thing is that a lot of people don't understand that this actually is a state of depression. And so there's information downstairs as well on SAD, which is the seasonal affective disorder. But anybody who might be experiencing some things or might know somebody that's experiencing some things, that you can read up on this and understand that I'm not crazy. may not praise you, that this is something that actually do exist. So God is opening up doors, and he's opening up opportunities for us to inform and educate ourselves on so many various different things, that the more that we can get knowledge, they say knowledge is power. But I kind of like go against that, because a lot of us have knowledge of certain things that we do absolutely nothing with. So I have to apply knowledge. So when God gives us the knowledge of certain things, then it is up to us to begin to apply those things that God has given us, that we can strengthen our own selves in order to move past these things that we are encountering. Amen? Amen. So we can ready to go into the Word of God. I believe the Lord has spoken to my spirit for today, and if it has been a battle against me and the enemy, me just trying to open up my spirit to hear from the Lord for on this morning, because I do know that there are a lot of us that are wrestling with certain things, some of it from childhood, some things hurt the scars that we have been going through, and I said, Lord, come here and have a word for the people in the house on today. And it might not be a word that's going to cause you to shout, but I pray for you to be the word that will help people decide your own self. That God will begin to peel back some layers, that he begin to expose some things, that he'll begin to start touching some sensitive places that we don't want people to touch on, that we don't want people to talk about. But I'm praying to you on today that God will walk around about the spirit to touch you in some sensitive areas.
Yeah.
That we can begin to open up ourselves to heal. Amen.
Yeah.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, we bless you. We thank you on this morning. We thank you, oh God, for you just being God all by yourself. We thank you, God, for the women that have come into this place on this morning. We believe, God, that they come to hear a word, but not only to hear a word from Reverend Woodard and myself, but God, to hear a word from you. So, God, we ask that even as they sit, oh, God, waiting, that you, God, will begin to allow your Holy Spirit to walk up and down these pews, oh, God, that you begin to visit each woman in her tent. Begin to visit each woman, oh, God, in that place where she's sitting at, whether it's physically, emotionally, spiritually, oh God, that you will go and you will sit amongst them even now, oh God, and you begin to minister unto them, oh God, begin to pull up every root in the name of Jesus, oh God. You, God, pull up those things that need to be revealed on this morning, oh God, that we will begin to tackle those things, oh God, that might be preventing or hindering us from moving forward in you, because we declare that we will be loose on today. We declare that we will be free on today. We declare that we will move forward in you on today. We declare that we will move forward and minister you on today. We declare that we will be healthy on today. We declare that we will be bold on today. We declare that we will be better mothers, God, better wives, better friends, better sisters. We declare on today, oh God, that we will be new creatures in this place. So we thank you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So on this morning, the topic will be winter season.
Yes.
And if you have your Bible, turn with me to 2 Kings, starting at the 4th chapter. And this is going to be something that many of us are aware of, because this story is about the Shunammite woman. And so if you can, if you can stand upon your feet for just a reading of the word very quickly, 2 Kings 4, 12 through 21. And this is Elisha, the prophet that is speaking, and he says to Gehazi, his servant, call the Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is it to be done for this? Whether thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. And he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily she has no child, and her husband is old. And he said, call her. And when he called her, she stood in the door. And he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace the son. And she said, nay, my lord, thy man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elijah had said unto her, according to the time of life. And when the child was grown, there fell on a day that he went to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said to a man, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on his knees, he sat on her knees to noon, and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. I want you, as you turn to your seat, turn to your neighbor and ask, what do you do when winter time comes? Turn and ask somebody else, what do you do when winter time comes? So this is when winter comes, and we all know that there are four seasons in a year: winter, spring, summer, and fall. And for the majority of people, they love when the springtime comes, because spring is like new beginnings. You see flowers and budding, and trees and birds that are chirping, and so with the fresh smell of grass, it means like new life is springing forward. So people begin to open up their windows and their doors, and they do the spring cleaning in order to get everything fresh and air out the stink from the stink from us being closed in all winter long. And so most people look forward to the springtime because you begin to shed off some layers, and you begin to allow for your arms to show, and begin to allow for some air to start flowing and blowing. And then we go from springtime to summertime when it starts getting a little warm, and you can go and enjoy the beach weather, and we're in the parks, and we're having our cookouts, and we're having all this great and wonderful time, and we're spending time with friends, and we're doing all these great things. And so when we go from spring into summer, then we go into fall. And then oftentimes as seasons begin to change, sometimes we don't always get so ready of a notice that seasons are changing. You ever been where one day it's 80 degrees and then the next time you open the door it's 40? You're like, oh my God, I thought it was fall. And then like one time to the next time. And so you hear a lot of people say, I don't even know how to dress. I don't even know what to put on. You put on a coat and by the time the evening time comes, you got to take it off. And so we try to come to a place where we prepare for the seasons that we know are about to come. And so even with this change of the season, they said that because the summertime was so hot, winter is going to be so cold. And so fall didn't last as long as what we might have wanted it to. And so you get up in the morning and it's frost on your windows and it's 30-something degrees. And for most people, they say, I'm going to wait to turn my heat on. But then at nighttime, it's like 30 degrees. And they're like, I think I need to turn my heat on, even though it's not quote-unquote wintertime by the calendar standard as of yet. But it begins to feel a certain way in the atmosphere. And so even as we know seasons change in our natural life, seasons also change in our own personal life. And for many of us, we can compare ourselves to the different seasons that when springtime comes, that we're experiencing new things that's going on in our lives. And for some of us, we might have new children or new grandchildren. These babies bring us these joy and excitement, and to us it means that new life is coming into the house. And you have these running around with these pitter patter of the feet, and people are planning weddings and these new beginnings that everybody was looking forward to. And most of the time, this takes place in the spring and in the summer. So as fall and winter becomes a little bit more coming in, a lot of the festivities begin to die down, and people begin to hunker in and figure out, well, what are we going to do to prepare for the winter? But my question is, that as much as we put in time to prepare physically for when winter time comes, what are we all doing to prepare when winter time comes in our own personal lives? What do we do when our marriages are being tested and seem like they're about to fall apart? What do we do when unexpected sickness begins to hit our bodies or hit bodies of our loved ones? What do we do when we are faced with financial strains and we are on the verge of losing our homes or people come and repossess our cars? What do we do when winter time comes in our own lives? And so I want you to sit and think about as much time as you prepare for winter time coming in our natural sense. Do we put forth that much effort and preparing for when wintertime comes in our own lives? Because I dare to say that for many of us, when wintertime comes, we are so unprepared. that when the time comes, in 1 minute it was 80 degrees in our own lives, and now I'm facing 40 degree weather, and I looked outside and my trees had all these green leaves, and now everything has fallen off, and I'm looking at something that's bare and naked that was once upon a time full of life and dreams. What are we doing to prepare? And for many of us, we don't prepare ahead of time. We try to conjure up and prepare when we're in the midst of the season. And a lot of times the season comes and hits us and causes us to falter off of our own feet and our own banners. And we stand there and we say, I'm not ready. But many of us run for those Black Friday sales. Girl, I got to get those boots. They got 50% off and they got coats. And we gather up and we get on the phone and we call all of our friends and everybody to let them know that you need to go and prepare because the winter time is coming. But I need to know how many of you have reached out to your girlfriends or to your sister friends or to your family members and might have said unto them that winter time is coming, a season is coming in your life, and I need to know whether or not you're prepared. I need to know, do I need to come over and help you gather together some coats and take you to a place where you can get some food so you can be shod your feet and be able to stand in the midst of whatever that you're ready to come for? Because we know that seasons don't last always. And as much as we might want to stay spring and summertime, we know that eventually fall and wintertime is going to come. So I need you to ask your neighbor, are you ready for when the winter season comes?
Yes, hallelujah.
Woo. This Shunammite woman.
Yeah.
And for most of us who know the story about the Shunammite woman, she was a woman that was barren. Didn't have any children, didn't know what it was to have any kids. And for most of us, or for her, I'm almost certain that when you go a long period of time without having or not knowing what it is to have particular things, then you kind of like just set within your own self and say, well, maybe this is just how it's going to be. It is what it is. And we begin to come to a place where we kind of adapt to what it is that's happening around us. We begin to lose expectation that maybe one day something could possibly change.
Yeah.
And so this Shunammite woman, I'm pretty sure that she was going along in her daily routines. And it was just her and her husband, and the word said that she is of old age. So imagine going for years at a time. Maybe one piece of things to be different. But you're trying to get to a point that since it has not happened as of yet, then maybe it is what it is. And it's going to be what it's going to be. And we begin to stop wishing or stop hoping that maybe the possibilities of life or the possibilities of joy or the possibilities of what I may and want in my life to possibly happen for me. So this Shunammite woman, she's going along about her own journey, her own life, and she's pinning through Elijah the prophet. She's traveling back and forth, and she's making preparations that when you come through, come here, and you can lay here and rest your head, and we'll feed you, and we'll do all these wonderful things to you. And so Elijah says to his servant that she's been so wonderful and so kind that we must do something to repay her for her kindness and her hospitality. What is it that you think that we could possibly do? And his servant said, well, she doesn't have any children. So he said, call this Shunammite woman unto me. And he spoke to her and he said, in this season, you are going to have a child next year around this time. Because she has been for so long without, she said, don't play with my emotions. Now you tell me, don't play with me. Girl, my mouth is set for that. Don't tell me you got it like you over there and you didn't ask me. But we didn't add it to you. She said, don't play with me. Because, as a matter of fact, I didn't ask you for this. You gave it to me. Don't play with my emotions. And sometimes we have gone so long without, until the possibility of having, we can even begin to doubt that maybe this just isn't for me. So when somebody might prophesy, or somebody might say, you know what, the Lord laid on my heart to do this and do that, we'd be like, okay, I'll wait and see. Because we really don't believe that was confirmed that she had given birth to this son. So here she was in her spring and her summertime. All of which I had possibly imagined that I thought would never happen to me. And now I begin to see the thing growing, the possibilities of what I thought could never be now that it is. And I've given birth to something, Lord, that I've never even asked for, but you made possible for me. So she's enjoying her spring and her summertime. But then as we begin to read on, we begin to see that her season has changed. And it says that when the child was grown, it fell on the day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said to the lad, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees to noon, and then he died. I have to ask a question to most of us in this room. What is it in our lives that when we were in our spring and summer season, it was so wonderful? It was so joyful. It brought such a smile to our faces, such joy in our hearts. Mm-hmm. And now we are in the season and it's gone. What is it in your life that you feel as though has died? Mm-hmm. For some of us, it could possibly be our joy. For some of us, we could have dead relationships. For some of us, we could be dead spiritually and be just going through the motions.
Yeah.
For some of us, we could be dead emotionally, where we built up such a wall that we don't allow for nothing to come in order to touch me in a way that may want me to hope again or make me feel alive or well again. We become numb to the ways of life. What is it that possibly is in your life that has died, that you have had so much joy in to spring and summer seasons, and now it's gone? What is it that once brought you this fulfillment, and now you look out and it's bare and it's empty? What is it that used to run around and God has promised, and now something, all of a sudden, happened and it's dead? And the story goes on to say, nothing happened out of the ordinary. This child didn't fall and bump his head. This child wasn't shy. It was nothing that came about that you can really pinpoint and say that this is why this happened. And for many of us, we experience things in our lives and we sit and we wonder why. Lord, what happened? Why me? Why my marriage? Why my son? Why my body? Why my peace? Why my joy? Why my innocence? Because some of us are carrying things that have happened to us in childhood. It has caused a part of us to die. And we begin to ask, why, Lord? Why me? I didn't ask for this because the human life woman didn't ask for this son. I didn't ask for this to happen to me. Why? Why would you allow for me to benefit in one season only to turn around and another season come and now it's dead? Why me?
Yeah.
What is it that once said upon your knee that you had this intimate contact with, this thing that brought you joy, you held it close because it said that he went to his mom and she sat there on his knee, on her knee. And I can almost imagine when a child comes to sit on our knee, he just doesn't sit there, but we can get him to cradle him close to us and pull him into our bosom. What is it that you pull so close saying that when you pull him in and now that it's dead and you no longer have life in that situation? What is it that's not? What is it that you might be still holding on to? Because I can almost imagine this mom that with our children, our child came and was in pain and fell on our lap and they died. We wouldn't be so quick to put that bed in our lives. And it's for many of us in here that we're still holding on to some dead issues. We're still holding on to some dead relationships. We're still holding on to some dead pain and some dead hurt. And we've held it and we've prayed on it so long. And people are like, Lord, this thing has been such a part of me. How dare we? How can I remove it from me, God, just to lay it aside? And so for many of us, we are still in this winter season when seasons have come. And it has went from season, from winter to spring to summer to fall, and it's back winter, and you have not changed out of your season. Because some of us are still stuck in our winter time, even though the sun may be shining and it's 80 degrees outside. Some of us are still stuck in our winter time, that even though flowers are blossoming around us, and we are still bare and naked on the inside, us are still stuck in our winter season. So I need you to just ask yourself, Lord, what is it that's bad inside of me that I'm still holding on to? What is it, oh God, that I have allowed for not to allow me to move past my winter season into my next season? Because can I tell you that God would not have for us to stay in one season? That is why he has allowed for seasons to change. Because sometimes we need to realistically look at certain things in order to put it to ourselves in a spiritual manner to get a real understanding of how the flow should be. So if you've seen it where it's staying winter time for an entire year, we would know something's wrong. Mm-hmm. But how many of us in here can readily say that I've been in my winter season for a long time? Mm-hmm. Have we noticed that something was wrong? Mm-hmm. Or do we sit in these places for so long until it become our norm? Mm-hmm. Have we been bitter for so long until this is just who I am? Mm-hmm. Have we been angry for so long until it hurts to even smile? Have you been cold for so long that when somebody goes to embrace you, you can't even give a warm hug? How long have we been in our winter season? And even though clinically winter depression is something that happens, but if you read the literature, it even lets you know that for most people, as the season changes, they even begin to come out of that depressed state.
Yes.
But when we hold on too long to that situation, when we hold on too long to past pains and to past hurts, when we hold on too long to things and to people that brought us joy and brought us life, if I can just hold on just a little while longer because I broke and I'm not ready to let it go. I often tell people that sometimes we walking around and it's almost like somebody has stabbed us in our heart. And when you get stabbed in your heart, it hurts. Stabbed anywhere on your body, it hurts. But when they go to touch it, our first reaction is, don't touch it. Don't touch it. And they say, well, we have to bring you in order to remove what's there in order for you to heal. But every time when somebody goes to touch it, we say don't touch it. And so every time when somebody comes to talk to you about certain things or address certain issues, our first reaction is don't touch it. Our first response is don't talk about that. Our next response is I ain't ready for that. Won't you come back to church? I ain't ready for them church people. Why don't you come to the fair reunion? I ain't ready for those people yet. Why don't you do that? I ain't ready for that yet. Every time we go to touch it, our first response is, don't But let me tell you, when you need to learn from the I'm not leaving. to prepare it for a few. I'm leaving it for the Lord. I'm leaving it for the Lord. I'm leaving it for the Lord. For many of us as women, we try to do it all. We the cook, we the bake, we the homemaker, we everything. And so sometimes when it's time, especially when it comes to our children, that's why I love the story, because we know how precious our children are. And so when people say, leave them alone and let them grow up, we be looking like, what? Because the age is strange. No. So imagine how hard it was for her. For many of us, it's just that hard here. God is saying, because if you read further down through the story, it is a miracle. So even as Reverend Woodard said this morning when she got up, the Lord is in this room. And he's here to do miracles. And he would take that dead thing off of your man. Stop pulling it close to your bosom. He placed that thing down. You know? He shut that door. God will do what needs to be done in our hearts, in our minds. In our spirits. Just for a minute, I just need for every woman in here to find a woman. And then just hug them. Stand up and just hug them. Hug them right. They might not have never been hugged before. Or they haven't been hugged like that in such a long time. Hug them. As you're replacing that dead child that they might have been ungrateful, hug them. In return, to let them know that you're not going to be left empty-handed, but as you begin to release that dead baby, that dead situation, God will fill your arms all over again. Hug them. Hug them. As God begins to break and release in this room, hold on. Woo! That you no longer have to sit in that place that you're in. Hold on. That God will fill your love, your arms with love. He will fill your arms with warmth. He will fill your love, your arms with joy. He will fill your arms. Thank you.
So even though they said I was so beat down, even though Lord has felt like I was so beautiful at one time, but now I feel like I'm numb. I was humiliated and people talked about me. Even when I came to the restaurant, people talked about me. Even when on the bus stop, people talked about me. But you got to know who you are. Hallelujah. But Lord, the blinds are still fading away, God. What do I have to hold on to? And even though you feel like you have nothing else to hold on to, guess what? This song right here is the word of God. Because that's the only thing that's going to keep you. That's the only thing that's going to carry you. That's the only thing that's going to prepare you for when the time. See, what the time can be a beautiful thing if we allow it to be beautiful. Like Brother Pam said, you got to let go of all that giving stuff. So when winter time comes, you can rejoice. You can rejoice with the beautiful decorations. You can rejoice walking through the walls with your friends and your children if you let those things go. So even though as a woman, and as a man, you may find yourself so deep down and so outdone. But look, look at this, this one still hanging on. But they still hanging on. You got to keep holding on even when they push you out. You got to keep holding on even when you feel like you can't go on. But it's not that free. You shall be free indeed. But the witness stuff is the word of God. Because that's the only thing that can bring you through. I know we come to a close because it's almost 12 o'clock, but I just come to encourage you all that even though all these talents that you see right here, don't you know the green top cup? You won't see none of that because you still will be conforming to a role. Why? Because God is the earth and the fullness of all the man that dwells in. The earth is the Lord. So all these colors that you see right here, you ain't going to see no more during springtime because it's going to be a whole row. So that's how you got to see yourself. So when you see yourself sad, when you see yourself broken, just know that you will be made whole. And that's the way you tore down. But that's what man sees. But what does God see? So you got to hold on even when you don't feel like holding on no more. Even when you feel like letting go. Even when you feel like, Lord, I can't go on anymore. Even when you feel like God is numb. And I got to get up every morning. I feel suicidal. I feel like I'm in a depressed state. You got to keep on going. But just remember to hold on to the word of God. Because that's the only thing that's going to keep you. That's the only thing that's going to keep you is the word of God. Beat up, they gotta get rid of the man. She stood there because she was waiting for her baby to come. She
Just
Right before Reverend Wanda comes to pray, this is something that I say most of the time when I'm out and speaking on topics like this. That we business went out on the street and somebody harmed us in some type of way, we would not walk back in or run back in or fall back in those doors saying, help me, help me. Call 911, call the cops, call somebody. They shot me, they stabbed me, they stole my pocketbook, whatever it is that happens. But oftentimes, we find ourselves as a victim emotionally or mentally. We don't cry out for help. And so like she said, I don't want people to know. We don't want people to see. And people perceive us as being weak. But do you know that the enemy doesn't really come to kill our bodies? But if he takes our minds, then the word that doesn't mean it is in his heart to receive. Our purpose is not being fulfilled, and he delays us in certain ways. So oftentimes when we are believing, we cry out loud silently. And so as Reverend Wanda comes to pray, I need everyone to really consider, where are you in your season? And if you know that you're bleeding inwardly, and I feel like I'm about to bleed out, or I feel like I might not need you, can you let somebody know that you need a 911? Can you cry out and let somebody know that I've been hurt? Because guess what? It's all right. If you just want to be honest, how many people have been hurt? So it's nothing new to nobody. Hurt is not something that only one for all of us that have been hurt, are hurting now, or have gone through it, and won't go through it again. But please do not sit and know that you're one that needs a 911 and not stay with you. It would be such a sad thing to come in and to go back out this little thing, go back out this little without help, knowing that God has sent ministry angels and newborn to death to minister to those babies as we pray.
Amen. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you and we bless you, God. Lord, we just give you, the highest praise on today, God. Lord, I come before you, God, humble God. Lord, I come before you with the women and men on today, Father God. Lord, we pray, Father God, Lord, you have already moved, God. Even if some of us don't feel like you moved, God, Lord, we know you already moved, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Every day of faith was awakened on today, God. Lord, we thank you for restoring Pam, God. The things to restore her, Father, in the name of you, God. Lord, we thank you, God, for she put on the shoulder of my woman, Father God. Lord, she didn't allow herself to stay in that damn place. She took that damn situation so we would be resurrected. So she will live. Her elbow will live, God. Lord, I came before you with the woman caught in touch, God. Because even though she was in the death place, God, Lord, sometimes you push her to our destiny, God. Even when we feel like we can't come to you ourselves, God. Lord, we thank you for pushing us in our destiny, Father God. Even when we don't take a step to go forward again, Lord God. Lord, we speak healing over our minds on today. We speak healing over the souls on today, God. Set us free, God. In the name of Jesus, God, I feel a heavy weight on today. That someone wants to cry out, but they're so ashamed of somebody sitting around them. Hallelujah, God. But Lord, we know that you said in your word, who the Son set free is free indeed. God, we thank you, God, for healing, God. We thank you for restoring, God. We trust over this sanctuary, God. In the name of Jesus, God, touch them right now, God. In the name of Jesus, God, that place, God, they feel like they don't want nobody to touch my brother's hands.
coming. And I guess everybody here is saying, amen. Hallelujah. All right, Pastor Joshua.
How's everybody? I pray for the school to shut the door. What an awesome time. Sitting on the balcony, and I was just blessed by the words that came forth. I thank God that He took it easy. That we can have worship in this world. Spirit of God moves in this place. Let me say this, and I came up here because I know that there was no fee to get in here. But when a word comes forth like that, I just believe that you are a sort of seed on it. Amen. And a seed is a sacrificial gift. I really do believe you are a Pharisee on this word. And this is not no gimmick or anything like that, but I really do believe that you should sow a seed on this word. So I want as many as you can to get $20. Please, please. I don't play with God. But as many as you can. And let me share this with you, because I know sometimes when things like that are said in church, people get uneasy. You can only give what you have. So it should never make you uneasy when an offering is asked for. Yeah. You don't have it then, and then. But give to the best of your ability.
Yes.
But I just believe that we should sow a seed in here on today because of the word that has went forth and what's going to be birthed out of this.
Yeah.
It's going to be birthed out of this. But we believe that when you sow, God will bless you.
Yeah.
And also this. If there's something that God has called you to, I am a, I'm not going to say I'm an aspiring author, because I'm already writing.
Okay.
But I just ordered 5 more books on Friday, because where you want to go, you are sowing too.
Yeah. Amen.
So anybody know me, though, I got plenty of books.
Amen.
Because I sow into where I'm going.
Yes.
And so God may have placed something on the inside of you to do, to for Hope Victoria, like Hope Victoria, or Reyes. I don't love to say sore. I got. But let me, the one thing I know both of these ladies.
Yeah.
And know me since I was Jay Howard.
Mm-hmm.
And so I believe in the gift that what God has put on the inside of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that it took a lot of travail to birth my style in here. Because, you know, sometimes people get offended when male preachers start using terminology about pregnancy and things like that.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I don't offend nobody. But it took a lot of travail and birthing pain. And I can testify that I'm a call lady. That's right.
Yeah.
That where Ray is 5 years later, it's only the Lord's doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's only the Lord's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And she could have said no.
Yeah. Easily.
Because, you know, sometimes we do want to tell God no.
Mm-hmm.
But she said yes. And so, I'm going to change to a 5-star restaurant today.
Yes. Yes. Nice.
And so, trust me, trust me. Trust me. I want you to come. What's your Cash App instructions?
Cash App instructions.
Hope Victorious. There is Cash App. Even if you have someone on Cash App, I still want you to come to the bank because this is the soil.
Yes.
And I want you to place your seed in the soil.
Yes.
Just come on the crumb and believe God for the harvest. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.